can bring some of these back. They have numbers on them.
You can leave it here for now. Maybe if we get a chance later, we'll do it. I don't want to stare our time, because our time is limited.
Yes, amen.
So look, what was on the agenda for today, if you have a Gemara Pesachim, is good. You always have a Gemara, so that's good. We have the Sugya Daf Hei Amud Beis, which we began on Thursday. Okay, thanks.
Start, please.
Okay. See, remember that there's a whole long sugi here about Pigdono Shal Nochri.
Yeah.
And the Gemara derives from Lo Yimotze, right, that if you Mekabel Achrayis on Pigdono Shal Nochri, then you Chayef for Bal Yeroba Yimotze. And that's based on Lo Yimotze, a special ribui where we drop the word Lecha, the Torah leaves out the word Lecha.
Yeah, and Lo Yimotze.
Right. So then the Gemara tells the story, which we'll see inside again. Ki hadi amali rava lebnei mechuza, 5 lines up from the bottom. Be'iru chamira debnei chela mibataychu. Get rid of the chametz that you've designated for the soldiers. I came into ilu migna for ilu misbid. If they get lost or stolen, be'isu l'shlumei. You're going to have to pay for it. Kil echun dummy. It's like it's yours. Be osur. So Gemara says that makes sense if you hold. Excellent. So we want to think about the
following. When you say the Omar lo yimotze, that means that in any case, You are chayev for this.
Right. No, we're not using the universal standards or requirements for mammon, because if that be the case, there would be no problem here in a case of dovar goyim l'mammon. But we have a special definition of ownership here with regard to chametz, based on the pasuk lo yimotze. It really reminds us of the Ramban, that the Ramban says that the Torah recognizes that Isuri Ano Lav Mama, but the Torah makes it into Mama. And once the Torah makes it into Mama, then we have new definitions of what's Mama and what's considered ownership as far as Chametz is concerned. That was the Ramban. But we want to focus our attention on another element in this Sugya. The Gemara puts all the emphasis on Kabbalah Sachrayus. That's not something that that came through the Rishonim. It's black and white here in the Gemara. The Kibbol Evachrayas. And the Gemara says, that's why you violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotze. And yet, the Gemara tells us a whole story about governmental requirements in the case of Bnei Mechuza. And they would require to be responsible for the Chametz, whether they liked it or not. This was enforced by the government. And Rava says to the people of Bnei Mechuzah, you know that you're going to have to pay and replace the chametz if it's lost, and therefore you are responsible.
It's yours.
So this is an interesting case here, because if you read the Gemara literally, then you get the impression that even though the Jews are not interested in Kabbal Sachrayis here, but they have no choice in the matter. It's being thrust upon them. It's being forced upon them. Yeah, the Rambam is going to use the word anos. Anos means anos. The anos forces you to pay. Now, how do we reconcile that with Kabbalah Sachrayis? The Gemara says on the third line here, the wide lines, Hada Kibbalah of Achrayis.
Hada lo Kibbalah of Achrayis. But this is an implicit Achrayis. It's unavoidable.
I don't know.
It's not Achrayis that you were Mekabel. It's Achrayis that's forced upon you.
Right.
But you still have it.
Oh, so the question is, how you doing, Lynn? Did you in any way commit yourself to this Achrayis? So on this we have a Rambam and a Ravid. We'll take a look. The Ravid is very, very long. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to read the entire Ravid inside, but maybe we'll take a look at part of it. It's in the fourth parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam writes, Goy Anos. And the Rambam actually copies out Gemara almost straight away, almost verbatim, that the guy is now forcing you. Hifkid chemtzotzol, he places his chametz in the hands of Israel. and the Jew knows that whether he likes it or not, the anos, the guy, is going to force him to pay for it. Yodea Yisraeli Shem Avaro Nignav Mechayvo Lishlumo V'Kofeu. He knows he's going to have to pay whether he likes it or not. He's going to be forced to pay for it. The own soul is shalom. If he tries to wiggle out of it and say, "Well, I never took responsibility," they're going to force him to pay. Says the Rama, "Afal pishlo kibel achrayis hareza chayv levaro." He has to get rid of it. Sharei nechshav shkeilu hu shalom ifnei shemachayv own soul b'achrayuso. On the one hand, I could see where the Rama is coming from, because the Gemara tells us this whole story about the Bnei Mechuza. And they were being forced to supply the chametz to the soldiers, and if the chametz was lost, they'd have to replace the chametz.
By definition, it's yours. By definition, you have to pay for it, and that means that you have achrayus on it during Pesach.
That's the way the Rambam says it. But the Ravid is not happy with this. The Ravid says, Omar Avram, Dover Zeh, I can justify the Ram Hotzi, he derived it, Mimai Di Omar Lahu Ravala Bnei Mechuzah Be'iro, Chamir De Bnei Chela, Kevon De Ilu Mignav Vershu Saichuhu Kidalachun Dami, Vinid Melo, and it appeared to the Rambam, based on the, shall we say, the simple understanding of the Gemara, Shezeh Achrayis Mina Anos, who, this Achrayis that the Jew is responsible for chometz, for Bali Rabbi Motze, is a result of Mina Anos, who is because of the Anos, meaning that the Jew himself had no
role.
He himself never accepted Achrayis, and it was all Al Karcha, it was all compelled against his will. And the Rabbi goes on to say that he can't accept this concept. Now let's leave the machlokes and the Rambam and the Ravid on the side for a moment. I want to skip for a few seconds here to Daf Vav and Aleph, because the Gemara has another sugya that I think relates to this sugya, and maybe we'll shed a light on the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid doesn't accept that this Kabbalah Sachrayus Shalom Bertzono, that would be Mechayef and Bal Yerobah Yemotze. Basically, you know, the Ravid is looking at it from a legal perspective. According to the strict letter of the law, at least Jewish law, he's not obligated to pay for this chametz. He never accepted achrayus. Ella, what the law of the land is such that because of the power and the authority invested in the government is going to force him to pay. Does the Torah, does the halacha recognize this?
But the Torah took it out of his reshus, unless he is rotza b'kiyumo. Here, it's borderline.
Okay, that could be rotza b'kiyumo.
He is rotza b'kiyumo, sure he is.
Right, because he doesn't want to have to pay for it, so maybe that's considered rotza b'kiyumo. I just want to show you another piece of Gemara that could also shed a light on this sugya, and this is on Daf Vav and Aleph. You'll see, if you fast forward to the two dots, which is approximately, shall I say, 12 lines down in the Gemara, maybe 15 lines down. Tana Rabbanan, Nochri shenichnas lechatzir shel Yisrael v'tzeko biyado. So here's a case where the goy comes in. He's not forcing you to accept achrayis. He's holding on to chametz, and the braisa says clearly, ein zochek levayir. But if kino etzlo zochek levayir. Now, the simple pshat, and this is certainly the way the Ravid understood it, if kibel etzlo, and so you go back to Rashi actually, he says, we kibel all of achrayis. That's how Rashi interprets the sugya, that's certainly how the Ravid understood the sugya. Meaning again, chomet shel goy b'yishus Yisrael, the violation is contingent on the fact that there was kabbalas achrayis. However, there's one mitigating circumstance that might apply even in the case of kabbalas achrayis, and that is Yichei Lo Bayis. In the case of Yichei Lo Bayis, Klomar, Rashi says, Lo Kibel Olav. He never accepted Achrayis. El Omer Le, he turns to the guy and he says, Harei Abayis Lefanecha, Hanach Be'achas Min HaZovios, Be'achas Min HaZovios. He says to the guy, find yourself a corner and place your chametz there. Das hat nitz etan. I have no shaychus here. I'm not involved in this. In that case, Ein Zochik Levaya.
Is the guy important over here rather than the Jew?
The guy...
Is it important that it be a guy?
Yeah, that's Rashi Sheet, the coin to the Gaon and the Pnei Yeshua. Rashi holds that this only applies to a guy's chametz, because if you remember, we had a miut here.
Right.
Of lecha yatarav alatarosh alacherim, which means that you can see the chametz of a guy in your shoes. That's our rashi.
Acherim was not
acherim. That's
the gross thing. I mean, other than,
right.
Other
I meant to
that,
say the gross. I forgot.
No, but other than that, it would be the same thing for a Jew, right? If I take a chrayus for a Jew's chametz,
then you're responsible. You violate bali rabbi matzah. But the question is, what happens if he says hanach? Hanach ba'achas min azovios, and the chometz belongs to a Jew. That's going to be the Rashi that we spoke about. That Rashi holds that since it belongs to a Jew, if you tell the Jew to keep his chometz in your rishus, that itself is enough to generate bal yiro ba'imotze. Lenny, do you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah. What? No, I'm trying to say the guy was keeping the chometz.
Correct. So if the guy is keeping,
wasn't giving it
as a pikadam. No, for sure not a gift.
Yeah,
but the issue is that the guy deposited in the Jew's rishus.
Cashing it with your permission.
Right. As a pikadam, it would mean that the Jew says, you know what, I'm responsible for your chametz. I'm going to make sure that it's not stolen, it's not lost. Then the Jew violates Bal Yiro Ba'imotze. That's called Kabbal Sachrayas. And the Gemara derives that from a special pasuk of Lo Yimotze, where the word Lecho is omitted. But in the case where the Jew just says to the guy, you know what? Choose a Zavis. I don't want to know anything about it. You know, I'm very passive here. I'm not involved in Yochav. I'm not accepting any responsibility. In that case, that's called Yichel Lo Bayis. And Rashi says, Ein Zokuk Levayer, because he was Miyachel Lo Bayis. And again, we're going to have to analyze this, and that perhaps is what Tosus, if you take a look quickly at Tosus, Yichel Lo Bayis, Bisha Kunsh Lo Kibol Av Achrayis, Ela Omale, Harea Bayis, Lefanecha Koshel Ari, what do you need Yichel Lo Bayis? Why just say the following? You know, we don't have to get into the flower, you know, get flowery and dramatic here. Did he,
I give you permission.
The nitty gritty, did he this, did he that? Forget about all that. He just said to him, I'm not Mekabal Achrayis. That's what Rashi says. Lo Kibol of Achrayis. If it's in the absence of Mekabal Achrayis, my Iri Yichud, what's this whole business that he says, you know what, put your chametz in any corner that you want. I feel lo yiched namani. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is going to come up with a whole different explanation in which the Yisrael was Mekabal Achrayis, and nevertheless, there's no Bal Yiro Ba'imotze. And the reason for that is because of Yiched Lo Bayis, and somehow Yiched Lo Bayis is going to be a mitigating circumstance.
A bias in which the Israel doesn't plan to go into.
I guess, something along that line. I mean, the Rebbeinu Tam says hardly nothing over here. He just says that it becomes like non-accessible chometz. I mean, lo yimotzu means the chometz is motzu. And here, in the case where he's miyachil lo bayis, he says to him, you know what, this is your area, I'm designating it for your chometz, I'm not going to go near it.
But along with what Sam just said, you're putting it somewhere else. Rashi says, chatazaviot, that's in this room right here, right in front of me. Bayis sounds like some other place, in a sense,
I think Rabbeinu Tam is a little closer to the simple translation of the words of the Gemara. I mean, Rashi says that Yichel Lo Bayis means, you know, find a place for yourself, right? Harei Abayis Lefanecha, and you decide where you want to put it. That doesn't sound like the simple translation of the words Yichel Lo Bayis. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that Yichel Lo Bayis is a brand new halacha, a brand new category. Basically, according to Rashi, Yichel Lo Bayis means nothing more than the absence of Kabbalah Sachrayas. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, they raise the roof here. Well, what are you telling me? Yichel Lo Bayis means he didn't accept the Chrayas. So if he didn't accept the Chrayas, what's the discussion about? Leave out Yichel Lo Bayis. The answer is that there's a tremendous chiddush here, that even though he was Mekabbalah Chrayas, nevertheless, somehow Yichel Lo Bayis is a mitigating circumstance. As he says, Rabbeinu Tam, Mapik Limi Lo Yimotze, what's he going to derive from Lo Yimotze as a Ptur? The Lo Choshev Motze, that this case of Yichel Lo Bayis is not called Motze. So we have two ways of understanding Yichel Lo Bayis, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and we're going to try to analyze as we go along, what is the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? Is there a machlokas la halacha la maisa, or just or they're just arguing about how to interpret the Gemara. I suspect strongly that Rashi couldn't have accepted Rabbeinu Tam, because Rashi would hold that in the case of Kibbul of Achrayis, that's an automatic Machayev in Bali Rabbeinu Motzi, even in the case of Yichel Obayis. So then we're going to have to see what is Rabbeinu Tam and what is Rashi. Keep in mind also, Rabosai, that on the bottom of this Amud, we have a sugya called Yotze B'Shayara. Yeah. And again, this is very futuristic. I don't think we're going to get to this today. But once we have the Gemara open, I thought, let's see it inside. Amar Rab Yehuda, Amar Rab. This is about seven lines. Let's see, one, two, three, four, five. Six lines down in the wide lines. You have it?
Yeah,
Amar Farish by Yotze B'Shayara. Kodem Shloshim Yom Ein Zokuk Levayir. Tok Shloshim Yom Zokuk Levayir. And now the question becomes, is that called Matzui? According to Rabbeinu Tam, if Yichel Obayis is not Matzui, and therefore you don't violate Lo Yimotzei, then if he leaves his house entirely, how much more so, that should not be Matzui. Mm-hmm. And he has no intention, as the Gemara says later on, to return to his house. So what is this whole deal that I have to get rid of these chametz because I'm going to be in violation of Bali Rabbeinu Motzei? Why? It's not even Motzei. I don't have any access to the chametz.
Does it matter how far the Shayara is?
That's a good question.
To a hotel that's 5 minutes from your house, I'm Yotze B'Shayara.
Right. And he can show up at any time.
Right, exactly.
Very good. Excellent question. I mean, all this is going to be addressed in the poskim. So I've also, what I'd like to do now is put this on the side, this Gemara, and I want to pick up the Hare Kedem here. He has a kasha from the Taz. But first, let's understand the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Raifi. So you'll see this on page Lamed Gimel. Lenny, you have page Lamed Gimel?
No.
No? Okay, we'll try to make sure that you get that page. It might be here in the, I call it the archive.
If you want to sit next to me, Lenny, I'll share with you, assuming I have it.
Right. For some reason, I'm not finding it right now.
We'll share.
Maybe I found something. Here, what's this? Is this relevant? If somebody can help me, because I don't have two hands.
Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph.
Is this relevant?
One more
back
will be
relevant. You got three olives and three beds. Meanwhile, where is my heart? What happened?
I'm just pulling out pages here. Alright, anyway, let's just carry on. Whatever we have, we have. Whatever we don't have, we don't have.
Okay.
So the Rambam, as we saw earlier, Goy Anos, the Goy puts his chametz in the possession of the Israel, and he's an Anos, right? He's going to force him. And the Jew knows very well that in event, you found?
I believe so.
Okay, great. So in event that the chametz gets lost, the Jew is going to have to be responsible for it. And apparently the Goy forced this, he foisted it upon the Jew. And there was no Kabbal Sachrayis. Nevertheless, the Rambam says it's considered like it's his. He owns it, and the Jew has to get rid of it. Why? Why does he own it? The answer is because he has to pay for it in the event that it gets lost. Well, by the way, what does that sound like to you? If I say to you, "This is mine," and I'm going to violate Bal Yerobai Motzi because in the event that it's lost, I have to pay for it. What does that sound like?
Kabbal Sachrayis.
No, I mean, obviously, that's a kind of Kabbalah Sachrayis, but not willingly, but it's foisted upon me. But what I meant to say is that in terms of our terminology for defining ownership, what does that sound like? Dovar?
Dovar HaMatzu.
Dovar HaGorim L'Momen. Do you remember that? You didn't forget that at all, right? Dovar HaGorim L'Momen means that this is valuable to me because in event that it's lost or stolen, I have to replace it and I'm going to take a look. Correct, it's out of pocket.
What does your day mean? That's supposed to tell us.
Meaning the Jew has to, In other words, in order to, I can't just come to Israel and say, well, look, the guy dropped his chametz in your reshus, you have to get rid of it. I mean, we just saw the Gemara Daf Vav that the Jew is not responsible for the guy's chametz. If he wasn't mekabel achrayus, then he doesn't have to tell the guy to get rid of his chametz. He doesn't have to get rid of the chametz. So the Rambam says, but no, in this case, he knows, the Jew, that if the chametz is lost or stolen, he's going to have to pay for it.
What's the contra distinction to that? If he knows versus if he...
Let's say if he wouldn't know. You know, he thinks that the guy is just a, you know, just a regular John, Paul, Peter off the street, and he's putting his chametz in his reshus. He's a private citizen, and the Jew has no intention to be mekabel achrayus. The precondition here is that, you know, you can't tell the Jew to destroy his chametz unless the Jew realizes and he acknowledges that he's going to have to pay for the chametz. But Rabos, I meant to touch, you know, Sam, you make a good point. Maybe we'll come back to that later. But I meant to just make another point here. The Rambam sounds awfully similar to what we call Dover HaGorim L'Momen K'Momen Dami. The problem with that is that the Gemara says explicitly, as we pointed out before, that even if I hold Dover HaGorim L'Momen Lav K'Momen Dami, nevertheless he's going to have to get rid of his chametz. The Rambam seems to put the emphasis on the fact that he's going to have to pay for it. Well, what do you mean he's going to have to pay for it? There was no Kabbalah Sacharias. But the answer is, says the Rambam, you're going to have to pay for it. Therefore, it's Gorim L'Momen. For you, it's Momen. But we don't accept over Gorim L'Momen, at least not in the Sugya. All right, but the Ravid has a different problem. The Ravid Hisig Olav, again, it's a very long Ravid, we'll just read part of it. He says that the Rambam derived this from the Sugya of Rava, the Bnei Mechuza, that Rava instructed the Bnei Mechuza to get rid of this chametz. And why? Because if it would be stolen or lost, you would be responsible for it. V'nidmelo, meaning it appeared to the Rambam, Shezeh Hachrayis Min Anos, this Hachrayis, which was never self-accepted by the Jew, but since it's superimposed upon him, is it's against the Jew's will, that's enough for Rava to instruct the people to get rid of the chametz that they violate by Rabbi Matzah. And the Ravid can't tolerate that. Vadai lo haya ones bedavar klal. He's saying that there's no onus in the fact that the Jew is responsible for the chametz. That for sure is. Hatashlumin shehemin anas. If you're going to tell me that the Jew did not accept any achrayus willingly, but rather they're going to force him to pay up because the chametz is lost, ain't no kiddin achrayus. That's not called achrayus. Meaning, when are you responsible according to the Ravid for chametz? If you are makabel achrayus, you said I'm going to watch your chametz, but just because the government is going to force you to pay up. That's Kabbalah Sachrayas, that makes it into yours.
By taking Achrayas, it's kind of assuming a semi-ownership, like I'm owning a Lagabi or something, right?
Right.
That's the reason they put
but,
it.
But right? Just because the Anos is gonna put his hand into my pocket and take out my money because I lost the chametz, that makes it into my chametz? Machlokas Aramba Ravid, he and Achrayas owns him, Baal Korcho Shel HaShomer, Havik Kabbalah Sachrayas. The Rambam says that it is like Kabbalah Sacharias. And that's going to be very difficult. We're going to try to understand the Rambam. But intuitively, we would agree that the Ravid is right. You know, you want to say that the guy is going to take out my money, right? Because yeah. I lost the chametz. So that's Gzela. You know, a Gazla could come along and put his hands into my pocket, take out money. Does that have any legal validity as far as ownership is concerned? Ain't a chametz chashuv kinimtza b'achrayis Yisrael, just because the government is gonna confiscate my property, that doesn't mean that I have a chrayis. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Ravid reinterprets the sugya that the Jews were makabel achrayis, and there was a kabbalah kinyan, or he offers another possibility called dina malchus and dina, that the halacha recognizes the law of the land, and since according to the law of the land, the Jew is achrayi, he has achrayis, then the Jew has to accept achrayis.
An official anas, not a bum.
Right.
A government anas.
Government bum.
And now the Rambam becomes very difficult because the Rambam is telling us that there's a new definition here that obligates me to get rid of this chametz as if it was mine. But why? I wasn't mekabel achrayus. And the answer probably is that the Rambam holds that it's, as you said before, Yosef, on the top of the next page, it's Rotsa B'Kiyumo, right? On the very top of the next page. So you want to underline those words. And the Rambam holds that it doesn't matter why he's going to pay up, whether it's he pays up legally because he accepted Achrayus, or they're going to bludgeon him until he finally pays up. And even if it's an anos, but nevertheless, he at the end of the day, he's responsible for the chametz. He's going to have to pay for the chametz if it's lost. And if that be the case, he certainly wants the chametz to continue to exist, and the Ravid, sound and healthy.
And the Ravid disagrees with that?
I don't know. The Ravid seems to say no. That the Gemara says, again, as we have to underline that line of the Gemara, that Kabbalah Sachrayus is the precondition for Pigdano Shel Nachri. The Gemara doesn't say anything about any Rotsa B'Kiyumo, or Rotsa B'Kiyumo in this case.
Rotsa B'Kiyumo can mean just in terms of unpleasantries. I'd rather it be here so the guys don't have time to me, right? That's also a Rotsa.
But here, it's a more serious Rotsa B'Kiyumo.
Right, I'm just saying, one can possibly say Rotsa B'Kiyumo just means it does me something. It makes my life easier. Mm-hmm.
So Rabosai, I just want to give you a little bit of the game plan here. What we're going to do now is we're going to work very hard on a Taz. The Taz raises the objection to the Rambam. He's going to explain that there's no way you could read a certain line in the Gemara that we just read. And then Rav Soloveitchik in this essay is going to try to reinterpret the Rambam in such a way that we can answer up the Kash of the Taz. That's what I call Akof Alf. Then he's going to go on to say that for another reason we can't accept the Rambam. The Rambam is against the Halacha. And finally, here on page Lamed Hey, he's going to come up with a new revamping of the Rambam that would make it all sensible. But at this stage, what we want to work on is the Taz. What was the Kash of the Taz? It seems like in the Olam HaYeshivot, this Taz was very famous. But when you read the Taz, you really don't understand what he's saying. The Taz, by the way, has a tendency of being a little bit wordy. The Shach, for example, was wordy. You know, the Shach, as opposed to the Taz, was very abridged. Like, every word is, like, heavy, you know. And you work hard to you could see a one-line Shach, and you could work. In the Taz, your problem is that Taz sometimes just keeps talking and talking. You don't know what he's saying. I've had it many times where I... And again, the Taz is a genius. I'm not taking away from him. But to figure him out. Yesh lahakshos bazel Rambam. Dim ken. My parach b'gemara. Le'idach lishna. Al mai diyomer lo yimotze. Itzrich lashmi'inon. Dehecha dechayev lachrayas kididei domi. You parach b'gemara. Nichol amad yomer dover agorim lamoman lav kamoman domi. Behind the itzrich lashmi'inon degabi chometz mi'a mitzar. El amad yomer kamoman domi lo yimotze lomali. So the Gemara has this whole presentation. The Gemara says that we have this pasuk lo yimotze, which teaches me that in the case of kabbal sachrayis yechayef for bal yiro ba yimotze. And the Gemara says, what do I need this for? I would know it in any event. Why? Because we're holding dovra gorm l'mamen kimamen dummy. If I hold dovra gorm l'mamen lav kimamen dummy, the Gemara says I understand there would not be a violation of bal yiro ba yimotze because it's not yours. The Torah says lo yiro l'chacham. This is not your chametz. It's somebody else's chametz. And therefore I need this pasuk lo yimotze to establish a new category of bal yiro ba yimotze where you violate the law for possessing chametz even though it's not your chametz. But if you hold dovra gorm l'mamen kimamen dummy, the Gemara asks, and again we're going to have a problem with this Gemara according to the Rambam, but the Gemara raises the following objection. Why do I need a pasuk of lo yimotze and a drasha to derive dovra gorm l'mamen? Dovra gorm l'mamen is a universal halacha that whenever this mamen, if lost, I have to replace it. Right, like for example, a person says a real lie, and after that he's mafresh a karbon. So if this karbon is lost, he's going to have to replace it. That's called your mamon. It's yours, and you could be makadish and isha with it. You could sell it on the open market. It's your mamon. So in this case, where the loss of the chametz is going to incur a certain payment, you're going to have to pay out of pocket to replace that chametz. Then clearly says the Gemara, It's kemamadom. It's yours. It's yours in kolatar kula for all achoshim mishpat. It's yours. So for sure you're going to violate bal yirah bal yimatzei. So why do I need a special pasuk? The absence of the word lacha, the extra pasuk of lo yimatzei. Fractataz, according to the Ramai Parif, the Gemara has no basis for its objection. Ha itzrich, I need the pasuk. Why? Lashmeinu gavi anos. The Rambam says that there are two types of Kabbalah Sachrayas that would generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. One is where you accepted it willingly, and the other is where you're compelled and you're going to be forced to pay up. Says the Taz, that's a Gevaldik Chiddush, that it's a Dover Goren Lamamin as far as Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei is concerned when the Anos forces you to pay up. Why does the Gemara say Pshita Amai Itzrich? Meaning, why does the Gemara say if you hold Davra going lumamim kimamim dami, then for sure you'll violate by your rabbi Matze. The Rambam holds that there's an unbelievable chiddush here, that even if they're basically bludging you to pay up, it's almost like they're stealing, as we said before, and whatever it is, the government, whatever the case may be, therefore it's considered your chametz, and you violate by your rabbi Matze. For that I need a limud, I need a yalfusi. You can't say it based on the halach of davar gomim lamamim kimamim dami. Davar gomim lamamim kimamim dami means legal davar halamim kimamim. Right? If legally, according to the laws of the halacha, you are going to lose because of the loss of the object, you're going to have to replace the object and pay for it. And he says the following. Bir kushyasa, just to elaborate on the Taz's objection. Agmara maksha b'chol kabol sachrayis efshel chayvo gam b'lo kra. The lo yimotze, the Gemara says that if I hold davar gomim lamamim kimamim dami, that I would be mechayev him in any case of kabbal sachrayis, because kabbal sachrayis by definition means that it's a gorem lamamim, and if it's lost, I have to replace it. Yes. So why do I need? Says the Gemara, lo yimotze,
it's yours.
Hello, halacha davar gomim lamamim say, you know, halacha mesuyam is misukham. It's a din anoy b'chol dini haTorah davi mono, that the Torah says according to this man the Omer, that if it's gorem lamamim, it's your mama. And therefore, we can apply that principle here to chametz, and it's your chametz because you were mekabel achrayus, and that was the Gemara's kasha. However, according to the Rambam, who says that misha kofeu be ones v'garim lo mamon ali deixela, even if somebody's going to force you to pay when you lose the object, that's also considered bal yirah bal yimatzei, and that was the sugya of anos, which the Rambam codifies. Kasha tuva kushta Gemara. I don't understand the Gemara's objection. The taper clay, this is what I underlined. I don't know if it's in your photocopy. Okay. The taper clay, we should derive this conclusion. Right, the Gemara is asking Akasha, we should derive this conclusion from Gorim Lamoman. I don't get it. On Yesh Nafkamina Gedola. To mitzad lo yimotze, efshel chayvu gamal anos. The ilu mitzad Gorim Lamoman, lo avi kemoman el kabbalah sachrayis al pidin. The Taz's question is that you have to have a legal mechanism by which he has to replace the object that's lost. That's called Shmira, Kabbal Sacharius. I have a commitment here and therefore I have to pay you when it's lost. But if somebody's going to come along and say, well, you didn't pay, I'm going to bludgeon you until you pay, we're going to freeze your bank assets because you have to pay for this, that's not called Dovra Gorim Lamamim. We never found that Dovra Gorim Lamamim applies simply because somebody has got a gun to you and he's going to say, well, if you don't cough it up, I'm going to take your money and run.
That's what Alpidin means.
Yeah, oh, emphasize the words Alpidin. You know, there has to be a legal mechanism by which we can force you to pay and replace the object. That's called Kabbalah Sachrayus. But just because we come from the outside and we impose governmental penalties on you and we basically, for all intents and purposes, steal your money. I mean, no one would think in Poland anyone would, you know, any government would steal Jewish money. Right? That's not thinkable, right? If you don't believe me, ask the Polish. But you know, the mitzias is that there's no halachic mechanism by which he was mekabel achrayus and therefore he has to pay. Therefore, we're going to invent a new concept here that it's yours because you'll have to pay because somebody's got a gun to your head. That's not what Domar Gomer Lamamim Kimamim is all about. A man says a real lie. He's obligated based on the halacha of neder to bring a carbon. He doesn't have this carbon, he'll bring a different carbon. So this carbon represents the value of the carbon, that if it's lost, he's going to have to replace that value. That's a halachic mechanism. But to say, just because there's a gazlan here that's going to force you to pay if this object is lost, that's not Kabbalah Sachrayus. So therefore the Taz asks a Gavaldig Akasha. What does Gemara mean? Well, I have Dover Gomelum Mom and Kabbalah doing, I don't need the Alfusa of Lo Yimotze, it's mine, it's not yours. Because Dover Gomelum Mom and Kabbalah Dover doesn't apply in the case of Anos. That is an unbelievable Kasha of the Taz on the Rambam. Meaning, if the Rambam's premise is correct, that even in the case of Anos, who's going to force me to pay, I violate Bal Yerov HaYemotzei, nowhere can we derive that without a special, no way, no how we can assume that way and conclude that way based on the general halacha of Dara Gomelum Amin Kamalim. For that I need what? Especially Yalfusa of Lo Yemotzei. So why is Gemara all up in arms? I don't need this Yalfusa. Okay. Now, at this point, to try to defend the Rambam is quite a challenge. That's what we want to do over here. He says the following. Even after all is said and done, and we have the Alfusa of Lo Yimotze, there's no achrayus in the case of an anos. He says, for example, let's say a person would make a commitment that he's going to pay money, you know, if this object is lost. Let's say he makes a Kabbalah's kinyan, you know, and he says, I'm not responsible for your object, but you know what, I'll pay you if the object is lost.
Insurance policy.
He says, that's not Bal Yerov HaYemotzei. Let's underline. He says, Yesoda did the Kabbalah Sachrayus on the fourth line, that's a result of what's called Kabbalah Shmira. In other words, why do I have to pay for this if it's lost? That's because I was Makabel Shmira. I now have a relationship to this object. I have to watch the object. Mm-hmm. That object now becomes, so to speak, mine in some sense. It's a quasi kind of ownership. Why? Because I have responsibility to protect that object. How do I gauge that responsibility? That's called Kabbalah Sachrayus. But ultimately, what we come down to, fundamentally, it's a Kabbalah Shmira. But let's say a person comes along and he has an object and he says, I'm a Kabbalah Achrayus on this object. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not, you know, I'm too busy to have the headache of locking it up and supervising it. That's not Kabbalah Achrayus. The whole sugya is predicated on Kabbalah Achrayus. Kabbalah Achrayus means that I have to provide Shmira for the object. What is that Kabbalah Shmira entail? Besides the actual, you know, providing the service, that I will be responsible that in case, in event, the object is lost, I'm going to pay out of pocket to replace it. So he says, you look at the chefetz, kamot shehu bien, as it is alive and well, as long as it's intact, and he has an achrayis shmir on it. And the achrayis shmir is what generates an achrayis tashlumin. Those are the key words. However, let's say a person would be makabel achrayis tashlumin without shmira. He says, is that called kabbalas achrayis? When a man says, I'm going to pay for it without any achrayis for the object? You know, I can be machayev myself to pay you anything at any time. You know, I can write a shtar that says, you know what? I owe you $1 million. Why? Because I like you, because you got elected president of the Jewish community. I don't know, whatever. I'm going to stop. I'm going to be makabel achiv, that I will be mishal, I'll pay you for something. That's not kabbalah sachrayis. And in such a case, would you tell me that if a man sets up a kinyan with a tanai that says that if this object is lost, I'll pay you. Stam, whatever it is. There's an object on the table. I make a tanai with you. I say, you know what, I'm a kabbal kinyan that I will pay you $100 when and if this is lost. But I'm not a shomer in any sense. You know, I have a separate
kabbal insurance.
So he's saying in such a case, he doesn't have to provide shmira. He doesn't have any achrayus vis-a-vis the object. Is nira poshut, please, if you underline this line, misvara, to kol kai gavna lo kamrinam be lo yimotze, kevach einu motzui klal tachas yado. The concept of lo yimotze, again, you don't need lecha in a full-fledged bialus, but you need yimotze. You have to say that you have some relationship to this object. The object itself is under your supervision. You take it into your rishus. It's tachas yado. It's lo yimotze. It's motze. But just because I wrote out a shtar with a maisa kinyan that I'm going to pay you for this object, its value, because the object, in event that the object gets lost, that's not Kabbalah Sachrayis, and the Rav is convinced that that would not violate the Iser Bayi Matze. What do you mean Bayi Matze? The Chometz is Matze Yetzli? Well, what relationship do I have to this Chometz? The fact that I took upon myself a Chiv Tashlum in event that the Chometz is lost, that doesn't give me Achrayis towards the Chometz. Where's the Bayi Matze over here? The Achrayis towards the Chometz is a result of Kabbalah Shmira. But if he never was Makabel Shmira, then it's absolutely obvious, and the Rav is not willing to budge on this, that there's no Bayi Rabbi Matze. Because that's not called Matze. The precondition, or the first stage in Matze, is the fact that you accepted upon yourself a Chiv Shmira. You accept upon your Chiv Tashlumin, but you make it conditional on the object being in existence. You're not paying if it's gone, and you are going to pay. That's not Valyura. That's not Motze Yetzlo. Where's the Lo Yimotze over here? Where is the Lo Yimotze? Lo Yimotze has to be a result of the fact that you were Makabel Achrayus. Achrayus means Achrayus Shmira. Again, Shmira schleps along, you know, generates a Chiv Tashlumin, you have to write out a check if you don't fulfill your Chiv Shmira, and the object is lost. So therefore, let's get back to basics over here. Forget about the Taz's Kash. You know, the Taz is objecting to the Rambam because, you know, the Gemara says, oh, I don't need this Pasuk. But we can say it even sharper than that, more fundamental. He says, what does the Rambam mean where the Goy Anos is Machayev him to pay? This governmental official is going to bludgeon him, you know, the gun to his temple, that you have to pay because the chometz is lost. So what? They call that tashlumin, but don't call it achrayus. So why would there be bayi rov bayi matzi in this case? Afilu no dil as far as the ram degam beachrayus onus kshiva kachrayus of mikomakom alo kol haones eno el achrayus tashlumin beli kabbal shmira. What is the nature of this ones? It's an onus to force you to pay. But it's not an onus as far as Kabbalah Shmir is concerned. So, Minolei L'Rambam, the Gambachai Gavda She'ein Zu Pikadon, Klal, the Kabbalah Shmir. If there was no Kabbalah Shmir whatsoever, Gamkin Shaykh Bazadin, the Kabbalah Sachrayas, Linyi Bal Yerobai Matz, it's not Kabbalah Sachrayas. Kabbalah Sachrayas means I accept it upon myself, Shmira. The fact that he's going to force me to pay in the event that this is lost, that's not Kabbalah Sachrayus. That's a Tashlumin situation, but it's not in any way a relationship that I have towards this object. You know, it could have been any object in the world. So basically, at this point, not only is the Taz correct and justified in his objection to the Rambam because of one line in the Gemara, but the entire Shitas HaRambam is now thrown into, you know, into havoc. You know, we don't know what to do with it. It's Midler Tali V'Avir. How could the Rambam possibly say that because the Anas is going to force me Tashlumin, therefore I violate Bayi Rov Bayi Matze? How is it different than a case where a person says, you know what, I'll pay you for something, kach v'kach, if that object is lost, but I'm not Mekabel any Shmira. There's no achrayus, there's no responsibility towards the object. Why is the object Matze Yetzlecha? Now what the Rambam does, what Rav Salvechik does is, he sends us back to read the Rambam a second time. Is this the, I don't want to take your Rambam. Here's my Rambam. Here, let's take a look at the Rambam. He says the following, if you read the Rambam carefully,
is it Dalad?
Dalad. There's an extra few words in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, Hifkid Chemtso Eitzel Yisrael. Now here's the way, there are two ways of reading this Rambam. One way of reading the Rambam is that the Rambam is talking about a Goy Anos. And the phrase Hifkid Chemtso Eitzel Yisrael is totally a description of the Anos. It has nothing to do with the Yisrael.
Yeah, Hifkid is like the Yisrael is passive.
Oh. The other way of learning it is that this word Goy Anos really is, if you jump a little fast forward, is really just describing what the Rambam goes into detail later on about the fact that the Yisrael is going to have to pay for it. That makes him into an anos. So it means that the anos is forcing the Jew to pay in event that the object is lost. However, let's go back to Hifkid Chemtzo Yisrael. If you had only those four words, so we'll add another dalet. So you have these four words, Hifkid Chemtzo Eitzel Yisrael. What that means is that the Yisrael was Mekabel Achrayus. So on the one hand, the Rambam is telling you that Yisrael was Mekabel Achrayus. On the other hand, the Rambam is telling you Shelo Kibel of Achrayus. And it's the guy who's the Anos is forcing him to pay. What do we do with that phrase, Shehifkid Chemtzo Eitzel Yisrael? Now again, before I sort up something, I thought Hifkid Eitzel Chemtzo Yisrael means the Rambam is describing the mitzvahs, the reality. You know, it's the guy is holding a loaf of bread, and he places it into the house, into the rishus of the Yisrael. It's sort of like the case that we had before with the Yichel Lobayis. But the Rav refuses to learn it that way, and we'll have to figure out why he refuses. But he says the following: Darei Zelosh and Aramba. Goy anos shehifkid chemtzo biyad Yisrael. So underline those words. Hifkid chemtzo biyad Yisrael. Im yodea haYisrael shim avad v'chulei mechayev l'shalmo v'kofeu. Right, as we said before, the Yisrael as well, he acknowledges the fact that he's going to have to pay if it's lost. He said the Rambam says chayev levaro. Harei zeh chayev levaro. Hine, mefurish betchilas l'shono, de mayri shahoya shomer al pi din.
What does that mean, shomer al pi din?
In other words, the Rav is asking, what does it mean, hifkid chemtzo biyad Yisrael? If you isolate those four words, forget about the word anos.
Okay.
The word anos is going to be related to a later phrase in the Rambam when the Rambam describes that that the Jew is going to be forced to pay up. But forget about that. Leave that out, because that's just going to confuse you. Put all your attention on the word Shehifkid Chemtzo Biyad Yisrael. If the Rambam would have opened up without the word Goy Anos, just let's read the Rambam. Hifkid Chemtzo Biyad Yisrael. What does that sound like to you?
Yisrael not doing anything.
No, you see, Hifkid, it's if I say that I was mafkid something in your rishus, that means, again, according to the language of Shas, you'd have to do
okay.
a word search.
Then you're a shomer.
Then you are a kabbalah.
It's a bikadon.
It's a bikadon. Hifkid chemtzo biyad Yisrael. You know, that ratio of the Rambam seems to indicate that the Yisrael accepted on himself shmira.
Yeah.
That's what he writes in the next line. He says, Mairi, what's the case? Shahaya Shomer al Pidin Vayisrael Kibel Ovis Etzav Shmira. That when the Rambam says Hifkid, which means Shmira, the Rambam's not talking about where they forced him to be a Shomer. You know, he was bludgeoned to death. No, the Yisrael accepted upon himself that I will watch and guard your chametz. Oh. That's as far as Achrayis Shmir is concerned. Now there's a different level of Achrayis. That's called Achrayis Tashlumin. Right, so for example, I'm just thinking out of the box for a minute. Achrayis Shmir might be up to the level of Pshia, but not to the level of Gneva Vaveda.
But there's going to be Tashlumin if you violated it.
So that's called an Achrayis Tashlumin, not an Achrayis Shmir.
But one, Habahatalia.
No, not necessarily. The Achrayis Tashlumin might go way beyond the Achrayis Shmira. Why? I was only Mekabel Achrayis Shmira up to this level. I'm not Chayav for Gnei Vaveda. As far as Shmira is concerned, okay. You have no claim against me. But there's another Achrayis called the Achrayis Tashlumin. And the Rambam allows for the Anos to superimpose, I'm not using the right word, but to force and compel the Jew to have an Achrayis Tashlumin, which is not a mirror image of the Achrayis of Shmira. The Achrayis Shmira was up until
he doesn't care about the din. He's just telling you, I'm putting this here. If it isn't here, you're responsible. Period.
But Rabosai, are you following? In the previous paragraph, if you take a look at the top two words on the in the column, mm-hmm. right? Where does it say Achrayis Tashlumin? Those two words,
right?
Bold those and highlight them in yellow, blue, and orange. And what he's saying is that there's no such thing as Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh based on Achrayis Tashlumin. Again, as we said before, if I were to say to you, imagine this is a loaf of bread, I would say to you, you know what? I'm going to pay you $1,000 if this loaf of bread is gone. That's Achrayis Tashlumin. That's not Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. This is not Motzeh Yetzli. There's no Yimotzeh here. I didn't accept Achrayis. I didn't accept Shmira. A separate Achrayis Tashlumin, that's something else. Now what Rav Salfechik is claiming is that in this scenario that the Rambam is addressing, there's a twofold Achrayis. Again, you have to be a little bit of a brisker here. Tzvei dinim. There are two dinim in Achrayis. There's one called Achrayis Shmira, and then there's something called Achrayis Tashlumin. And the Rav is just in the previous paragraph pasled Achrayis Tashlumin as far as Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh is concerned. Now, in this paragraph, Achen, the Rav is reintroducing Achrayis Tashlumin, but only after he sets down the rules and regulations, namely that there was an Achrayis Shmira. Albeit for, let's say, Pshia, the lowest level of Achrayis Tashlumin, but of Achrayis Shmira, but nevertheless, there was an Achrayis Shmira. So, what's going on in this Rambam? Umeata nire devadai kol divrei Rambam heim ach bi ofen shekibel all of Yisrael Shmira beratzon.
Shmira beratzon.
Okay. So what's the Rambam telling us? We already know from the previous halacha, that's halacha gimel goyish ifkin chamtas Yisrael kibul of Yisrael akrayus sheim avado nignav yishalim lo doma vareizachayv levaro. So we already know that there's such a din of kabbalah. So if halacha dal is also a kabbalah sakrayus, what is the Rambam adding to halacha gimel? What is it, a repeat? Oh, he says the chiddush of the Rambam is that Bidin goy anos hu rak al achrayis tashlumin bilvad. The anos adds another element into the equation, namely what? Achrayus tashlumin. Is sova Rambam demahani achrayis tashlumin al yedei anos. But again, when is Achrayis Tashlumin al Yedei Anos going to be meaningful to generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh? That's only because there was a Kabbalas Achrayis, let's call it Kabbalas, we'll use the word Kabbalas Shmira, al Yedei Yisrael Biratzon. The Iker Shem Pikodon v'Kabbalas Achrayis, Ukshekibel es Iker Ashmira l'Chefetz. Now what we have is the following. The Rambam says is A plus B. First we have the element of what? Of Kabbalas Shmira. That's called Kabbalas Achrayis. That we can check off because Yisrael agreed to be Mekabal Achrayis. And that's why it says Amafkir Chemtzoy to Yisrael. Now we go up to element B. What do we add to the equation? In addition to the Achrayis Shmira, on the Pikadon, now we have an Achrayis of a different sort, and that's an Achrayis Tashlumin. The Iker Shem Pikadon, we already have a Kabbalas Achrayis on behalf of the Jew to generate a Shem Pikadon.
But you're saying that you can have Kabbalat Achrayut Tashlumim without Achrayut Shmira.
Not really. I mean, yes and no. I mean, what we're saying is the following, that the Ikar Pikadon we have, because there was a minimum basic Kabbalas Achrayis of Shmira, Miratzono Shal Yisrael. And that already, insofar as it's a Kabbalah Shmira, that already generates some level of Achrayis. So we start with some level of Achrayis. But now we need another element of Achrayis that will engender the halach of Dovra Gorim Lamama, which means an Achrayis Tashlumin. Here's where the Rambam is Mechadesh, that once you've already achieved level A, you already have a Kabbalas Achrayis Mirtzono for Shmira on the part of the Jew. Now, the Goy is going to upgrade this, so to speak. He's going to add another element into the equation, namely Achrayis Tashlumin, such that if it's lost, the Jew is going to have to pay. Al Zema Ani Hodiya Ones Mechayvo B'Gneva V'Aveda. And now we can say that the Ones is going to establish that he's chayv for Gnev Aved. Again, the Kabbalah Sachrayis, the Shmira, would not be mechayv him for Gnev Aved, because that's out of the purview and the scope of his Shmira. But now that it's already a Pikadon, which means, excuse me, that he already has the element of Matzah Yetzlo, right? Because he has a Chrayis, which he accepted willingly on this Chayfetz. Now we want to know, could it be a Dovra Gom L'Mamon? And Dovra Gom L'Mamon, K'mamon Dami, already introduces the element of Kabbalah Achrayis Tashlumin. I'm sorry, not leave out the word Kabbal. Of Achrayis Tashlumin. The Rambam is telling us a big chiddush. The Rambam is telling us the Achrayis Tashlumin is enough to generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh as long as there was a Kabbalah Shmira, as long as you have a Shem Pikadon. So you have a Shem Pikadon, and the question is, to what extent are you obligated to pay in event that the Pikadon is lost? Here's where the Anos comes to play. And the Anos generates a new level here. It upgrades the level because it supplies an Achrayis Tashlumin. And again, the Rambam Sheet is the Achrayis Tashlumin has to be for Gneva Vaveda, and that's where the Achrayis Tashlumin and the Anos is going to be meaningful, and it's going to take you over the red line, you know, cross you over the crossroads, and you become Chayef Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Will be Yushev Heite Mashik Shenu Ha Ein Kan Elach Rayus Tashlumin Bilvad. Right, the whole kasha is if I'm a, right the model that I gave you before. If I'm a Kabbalah Chrayis Tashlumin on something and it's chavetz, and I have to pay you, clearly it's a dover poshet. I don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So what is this whole sugi vanos? If not Kabbalah Chrayis, if not Chrayis Tashlumin, the answer is the Mairi. In truth, we're talking about a case of pikadon al pidin. The Chrayis is a halachic valid Chrayis. But now, do I have to pay if it's lost? That's where the Achrayis Tashlumin comes to the fore, and that was instituted by the government, you know, by the Anos. Now, in parentheses, he tells you to look up Reb Chaim Tzanzer here, I think. Tirei Chaim. But you know what? I think I want to rack my brains with that Reb Chaim, you know, and try to figure this out. Again, he's going to try to now swing back to the Taz's kasha and answer the Taz's kasha. So we're not yet out in the clear, but we're beginning to see a whole new pshat in the Rambam. I mean, this is not the way we read the Rambam. Again, he's claiming that this is the meticulous, honest to goodness way of learning the Rambam. I don't know. You know, you have to. That's something you'll have to decide for yourself. But he says that there are two elements here. There's one level of Achrayis, which is Achrayis Shmira. There's another level Achrayis, which is Achrayis Tashlumin. There's no question in his mind that Achrayis Tashlumin alone would never ever be enough to generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. But at what point can I plug in this Dovra Gorim L'Mamon of the Achrayis Tashlumin? That's only after I already have a Shem Pikadon. That means Mirtzono, he accepted a commitment to watch the object, to take care of the chametz and supervise it. Yeah, Lenny, what are you saying?
No, I'm just trying to see. You can't have. Can you have an Achrayis Tashlumin without an Achrayis?
Shmira, no. I mean, you can, for sure. You can sign such a contract, but it would never generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Okay. Here it can generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh because we already have Chometz Matzui. Just the only thing is, we need to set it up as a Dovra Gorim L'Mamon. I mean, it's matzui, but is it Gorim L'Mamon? And the answer is, well, if it's stolen, I'm not going to pay for it. The answer is, my friend, you better get it straight. You are going to pay for it. And that's a chiyuv of Achrayis Tashlumin that's imposed from the outside. It's compelled, it's imposed upon you against your will. And that's enough to generate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Now it becomes a Dovra Gorim L'Mamon, but not a Dovra Gorim L'Mamon without a legal backing to it. There's a legal backing to the Dovra Gorim L'Mamon, and that is that you were Mekabel Achrayis Tashlumin. The Dovra Gorim L'Mamon here is that now, as a result of your Kabbalas Achrayis and your Achrayis Shmira, which you accept upon yourself Mitzoncha, now we can make it into a Dovra Gorim L'Mamon K'mamon Dami through Achrayis Tashlumin. And that Achrayis Tashlumin is supplied by the Anos.
But we're using terminology in a
in a funny way, because the Anas has absolutely no concern about what happened to it. Was it Pshia? Was it Kanevi Veda? Was it Onus? All he knows is he left this thing here, and now if it's not here, you pay for it. It has nothing to do with Shmira. We're looking at Shmira in a halachic framework of what level of achrayus do you have on this. He doesn't care.
I'm not sure that he doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't want to have to, you know, schlep you into the courts and put you on the guillotine and force you to pay up. But even if I grant you that you're right, Yosef, I don't know if that, I'm not sure. You know, first, I want to recognize the validity of your question. You're saying the guy doesn't care about Shmira. I don't know if that's right, but I'm not sure if it's so relevant. Meaning, what the Rav is saying is that if in the context of this arrangement between the Yisrael and the Goy, the Yisrael accepted Shmira, then the Rambam is willing to say, well, let's look at Dovra Gav L'Momen. Is there an Achrayis Tashlumen? And if there's an Anos, that could create an Achrayis Tashlumen. Keep in mind, the Rav never questioned that the Anos could create Chiyuv Tashlumen, an Achrayis Tashlumen. The Rav's problem was, why would that be relevant to Bal Yoram Bayim Matzah? And therefore the Rav introduced another element here, that there was a Kabbalah Shmira on the part of the Yisrael. Let's see if it becomes clear in the next. Now, the next paragraph, honestly, I'm not, you know, I'm pleading the 50. I don't have the sugya down. This is a sugya called Shara Niskal. Okay, for this you have to know a lot about Shara Niskal in two mesectas, you know, in Bava Kama and in Sanhedrin. But let's see if we can at least get the, kind of like the, what do you call it, the surface level, if you follow what I mean. The Gemara says in Bava Kama that with regard to Shara Niskal, a shomer would be potter for Tashlumin after Gemara did. What it means is as follows.
It's not anymore.
What do you say?
It's not worth anything. It's
Kashla. So you're already a step ahead of me. You're up to the Kasha. But let me get the facts on the ground, and then your Kasha is a beautiful Kasha. The Gemara says that I took Shmira on your animal, and now the animal goes out and it does whatever it does, and now it becomes a Shara Niskal. The animal is still alive and well. It's after Gemara Din, before the implementation, the execution of the animal. So the Gemara says that in such a case, even though, okay, so I'm already bringing up your question. First, let me get the facts on the ground. The Gemara says that I, as a shomer, am not chayv in tashlumen. It could be that I was responsible for the fact that the animal got loose and it did what it did. Right, it killed somebody, let's say.
Yeah.
I might be responsible for that. But it doesn't matter, because the animal is alive, there was Gemara Din, and I'm not chayv. So Yosef, you raise the obvious question. What do you mean you're not chayv? What's the shor worth now? It's worth nothing. It is aser b'hana after the Gemara Din. So the Gemara says that there's a principle called Hareishal Cholof Anecha, that I, the shomer, have a right to say, look, I took your object, the be'en, and here it is. Here's Elsie the cow. You know, just take it and run with it. Okay, so you have a problem because it's after Gemara Din, it's worthless. So that's called, again, this is sugya in a couple of places in Shas, it's in Gittin and Bava Kama, it's called Hezek Sheino Nikar. And if it's Hezek Sheino Nikar, I always have a right to say, Hareishal Cholof Anecha. What did I do to your shar? Your shar is right here. It looks exactly like it looked 5 minutes ago before it did what it did. It's a healthy breathing shar. Nothing has changed biologically. Take it and run. I'm not responsible for it. That's called Hezek Sheino Nikar. Satosa says the following. That as far as the shomer is concerned, this is a really subtle point, but let's see if we can get this. As far as the shomer is concerned, he's the owner of the shor. Why? Because if you hold davar gom l'mamon k'mamon dami, that means that he has invested money in the shor. If the shor is lost or stolen, he's going to have to replace it. And what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is going to be if somebody steals it and it's lost. Since the shomer, up until the moment of the theft, could return this shor to the Vailim, even though it's a shor niskal and it's worth nothing, but he could say Areishal Cholofanecha, and therefore he exempts himself from any Tashlume Nezikim. Therefore, it's a Gorim Lamama. You know, if I could dramatize it, I would say the Shomer desperately needs this shor, alive and well. If for no other purpose, just to exempt himself from paying because of his pshia and shmira. So therefore, the ganav, when he steals it, he's going to have to pay to whom? If y'all dover gom l'mam k'mam v'dom.
The bailiff.
He's going to pay to the shomer. Why? Because for the shomer, it's a dover gom l'mam.
Oh.
Why? Because the shomer desperately needs this shard to exempt himself from tashlumin by saying arei shel chol fanecha.
Right.
If the shor gets lost, and now the shomer can no longer say Hareshel Cholfanecha, is that shomer tzarech l'shalem is domov, and therefore it's garim l'mama. He quotes Rashi in Masechta Bava Kama, calls manchu kayam, as long as the shor is alive and well. Shomer poter is atzmo bo. He just says hareishal chod. He's poter. Ve'im ya'aved. But if it gets lost, or in this case it was stolen, is yishalim doma. Says the following: in order to allow the shomer to be considered the bailim, based on this principle of dover gom l'mam dami, you have to add one proviso, and that is that the object has some sort of a value. In other words, when the ganav pays up for stealing this shor, he's paying me din nezikin. The nezikin is predicated on the fact that there's something of value that was lost. Ubi alma, therefore, benigna mi beis shomer. If, let's say, it wasn't a shor niskal, if the ganav steals it from the beis shomer, then we understand how the ganav comes under the general rubric of nezikin. And he's a mazik to the shomer because the shomer, you know, is going to have to pay if he doesn't return it. But that I understand because the shor has value.
Right.
Aval kan, in this case, in the sugya bava kama, harei ashor eino shava klum. It's already past the gemara din stage, and it's now a shor niskal. V'im kein lo yischayev l'shalom is domav. How can you say that there are dini nezikin here to pay up for something that's absolutely valueless? Ulach ora tzarech lomer shehatam deikar chiyuvo hu al mashen nigmar dino leskila el kolz manchu kayom hu yachol liftar es atzmo bo ba miras hareishal chol fanecha vahashta she nignav shuveni yachol lomar hareishal chol fanecha.
So
he said, "Yeah, what did he say?
If it didn't be Imus then, from the whole thing of Mish."
Wait, you're a step ahead of me, Sam. You're asking questions. I don't. What can you explain to me from from the word Lechor until the end of the paragraph?
Because he didn't watch it well enough, and now you're mechuyif for not watching it. Had you watched it,
is that what he means when he says Iker Chuyuv Al Mash and Nigmar Dino Shel Leskila?
You let him go and did do damage.
I lost my value here. But you can say Aresh Lach Menacha, but if you lose it, you can't say Aresh Lach Menacha anymore, so you have to pay me for letting my share get into trouble. Which wouldn't apply if it was an anus.
So, in other words, are we saying the following, that even before the Shar became a Shar in Niskal, there was already ample reason to be Mechayev the Shomer, because he was responsible for becoming a Shar in Niskal? Is that what we're saying?
No, it's because of you that my share is worth nothing.
You meaning the shomer.
Yeah, but okay. I can give it back to you, say, because it'll be fine. But here's your shor. Here it is, even though it's worth nothing.
So again, the fact that the ganav rips, he undermines the ability of the shomer to say Areishal Chol Fanecha, that's enough for a reason to give the shomer.
That's the value.
That's the value of Dover Gomel and Mamon. The question is, how could the Gana be Chayav Midine? Just one second. If the shore is valueless, Tamikir Chiyuvo, Mashen Nigmar Dino, Leskila, Bemisarki, you know, let me go back. Havi Almak, Shenignam, Mibes, Shomer, Chayav Midine, Zikin, Shel Shomer. Ah. In other words, we're assuming, I think he's assuming here that the Shomer is Chayav, because when the Shomer is Chayav for Geneva, Re Yeshkan, Shor, Sheshom, right? But here, in our case of Shor Niskal, the Shor is not valueless, became a Shor Niskal, is in Cain, Lomi Yishchayev Shalom Domo. What does it mean, Lomi Yishchayev Shalom Domo? Who's he asking on? Is why the Ganav is Chayev? That's what I thought originally. Why is the Ganav Chayev to pay Domim? Just one second, just give me a second, Rabosai. Why is the Ganav Chayev to pay Domim? What if it's a valueless? No, that doesn't make sense. Maybe the he's talking about the shomer.
Somebody's
maybe the shomer. Why is the shomer chayav to pay domim? In this case, there's a loch in the zikin if the animal that was stolen was worth something. But here, it was already a shor niskal before it was stolen. So therefore, at the point of gneva, which is the moment at which you want to be mechayev the shomer to pay, it's already valueless. So Lomi is chayav l'shalom is domov. In other words, the Gemara is going to say that because he's chayav to mishalom domov, therefore it becomes a dovar gom l'momen if the Ganav takes it away from him, because he can no longer say a racial chol v'nevo. But I think the Rav is asking a more fundamental question: why, what on the basic premise that the shomer is chayav for the gneva, why should it be chayav if it already became a shor niskal before the gneva? At the moment of the gneva, you can't be mechayev the shomer to pay nizikin of niske shomer for something that's valueless. L'chayr tzarich lomar. Let me just see if this works. The tam the hatam the ikar chiyuvo hu almash nigmar dino l'skilo. Ah, in other words, even before the gneva came into existence, the shomer was chayav because of the nigmar dino l'skila. That itself is a nezer.
So he stole a shor haniskal?
No. Yes, he stole a shor haniskal. You're a step ahead of me. What I meant to say is that the shomer was watching a shor.
Yeah.
That's T1. Then we have T2. The shomer was poshea and the shor went out and it was no geach, let's say harag saladom. So it became now a shor niskal. And now at time T3, it was stolen. So Rav Salvech is saying, okay, fine. You want to say that the reason why the geach? Yeah, okay. No, I'm assuming he's chayav for gneva
veda. No. I'll see him say it was nanos.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I'm just going through different possibilities here, but right now I'm checking out it. I don't know the sugya of avakama well enough to evaluate whether or not he was posher, but let's assume for argument's sake that he took shmira even for gneva v'aveda. Okay, so now we can understand that the ganav is chayav to pay the shomer because of dovar gom l'momen, but the question is, why is the shomer chayav? But it's the whole reason why the shomer, the ganav is paying the shomer because the shomer owns the shor, is because the shomer himself would have to pay. Why would the shomer have to pay if at the moment of gmar din the shor is valueless, so there's no chiv nizikin? So what's he saying? No. That the chiyuv is because it became. That's why I think he's emphasizing a chiyuv al mashen nigmar dino l'skila. In other words, we're not talking about a case where, you know, because of the gneva, the shomer is liable. If you'd say because of the gneva the shomer is liable, well, there's no object of value here. It's after skila. It's after nigmar dino l'skila. Therefore, it's valueless. How can you be mechayev the shomer in Ezekiel for something that was destroyed when it was valueless? Oh, the answer is, I think, the ikar chiyuvu al mashen nigmar dino l'skila. You follow what I'm saying? That the chiyuv is at time T2, not at time T3. So in the gap in time between when he was Makabal Shmira as a Shomer, let's say Shomer Sofer, whatever he was, and this and the Negicha, in which he killed a man at Skila, in that period of time he already was Chayav. Ah, but what do you mean he's Chayav? He's not Chayav. Ah, the answer is that for technical reasons he's not Chayav. And that's only because he's got the Shar in front of him, and the Shar is alive and well. And then he can just simply return the Shar. Now the Ganov makes it impossible for him to destroy the Shar. Right, because now the Shar is gone, so therefore the Ganav is really causing a Shomer loss. He says, I still don't understand. Let's see if this works out. The Gazlan Tzorech Lomar HaReishel Chalfanecha Keva Demitzad Iker Agzeloh Kvar Neskai Bashova Vim of the Agzeloh.
Who is Chayev? I'm sorry.
I didn't follow. All of a sudden, I got hit with a bomb over my head. Sorry. Let me just calm down for a second. Yeah. So again, saying the following. Gazlan has to say Shareishal Chalfanecho because he's Chayven Hashova. Fine. Avol Shomer, just give me a second. Im ala gmar din shalashar niskal hu eino Chayev. Oh, so now we're going to apply the principle of Hezek Sheino Nikar. Okay. Hu eino bar chiyuva klal. So again, I haven't read the rest of the paragraph, but I think already I have where he's taking us here. He's saying that, all right, we did a great job here. We shifted the chiyuv on the shomer. Again, that was our goal, to figure out why the shomer is chayv. We shifted it from the moment of the gneva back to the earlier moment of gmar din. That he, the shomer, is responsible because it became a shor niskal. He says, no. That doesn't generate what we call a chiyuv hashava. Let's say a gazlan who steals something, so the very moment he steals it, we can slap on him a chiyuv hashava. And therefore, if he wants to get out of that chiyuv hashava, he has to say a rachel cholofanecha.
Yeah.
But in the case of a shomer, what's this whole mechanics here of shareishel cholofanecha? The hezek, to begin with, it was a hezek sheino nikar. Right? What happened? You want to make the shomer responsible for the animal becoming a shor niskal. Where's the hezek over here? The shor niskal looks exactly identical to a shor sheino niskal. So that's called hezek sheino nikar. Im kein hu ein bar chiyuva klal. We're back to square one. We wanted to say that the shomer is a bar chiyuva. Nor vos, he can say reishel cholofanech, and the gazel made it impossible for him to say reishel cholofanech, and therefore it's doragar l'mom and kimom and domi. He says there's no chiyuv on the shomer. Why? Because the shomer, the pshia, if you want to call it, the shomer, culminated in a hezek sheino nikar, and on a hezek sheino nikar he's not chayiv. So he doesn't have a chiyuv hashava that would generate a need for him to say Rachel Chofenev, who ain't a tzar klal liftos atzmo with our Rachel. The shomer doesn't have to pater himself. There was no chiyuv at all. And why wasn't there any chiyuv? Because that transition between his pshia and the shor becoming a shor niskal is hezek sheino nikar. He came my if aslan im yignav hashor. If the Gemara did itself is called Hesik Sheinu Nikar and you can't be Machayev him, so what difference does it make if the Shor is stolen? Al Gneva Atzma, who Gam came Potter. Ah, so you'll ask me, right, we've been focusing on the moment of Gemara Din, but maybe the Shor is Chayev for the moment of Gneva.
Yeah.
Which is kind of paradoxical, because we're saying that at that moment he becomes Chayv and Hashava, and at that moment, because of the Ganav, it's already Dovra Gom Lamavid, he can't say a racial Cholofanecha. Why? Ki ein bo Toras Nezek. Ah! Right, then we go back to the previous paragraph, and he says, how can it be Chayv for the Gneva? even if he was poshea and ended up in Gneva, but at that moment in time, it was already a Shar Niskal. And if it's already a Shar Niskal, it's not worth a dime, and therefore there's no way of calling it Nezikin, and how can the Shomer be Chayav? So you hear what he's saying? We have no way of saying the Shomer is Chayav. If you're going to tell me the Shomer is Chayav because his lack of Shmira culminated in it becoming a Shar Niskal, that's called Hetzik Shein Nikar. The Shar is still alive and well. If you're going to tell me that he's chai for the moment of Gneva, that's also a problem, because you can't be mechai of someone nezikin when the object that was damaged or lost is valueless.
He's chai for Gneva, he's chai for not watching.
But the problem is, you know, if a shomer is not watching something, that's not enough to be mechai of him. It's got to culminate in something.
In a loss.
And what is the culmination here? It's a Hezek Shein Nikar. I mean, the Shar is alive and well. It's the healthiest Shar. Fakir, this Shar is boasting its power. It just killed a man. You know, I'm the healthiest Shar in the world.
The main point over here is that there's no Chiyav HaShava by Shmira. There's only a penalty for not watching.
Well, there would be a Chiyav HaShava if it was a Hezek Nikar.
No, that's from Mazik.
Right.
But not a shomer is not mechuyev to return something. If somebody borrows money, he has to return it. Can't say a resh lacha fenecha. But if somebody,
I'm not sure, Sam, I agree with what you're saying now. I mean, okay, I understand the following: that a shomer can only be chayev if the object is destroyed.
Right.
That's what
and
the rabbis.
Otherwise, I finish doing my shmira. I can say I'm done. Not so. No. Where's my object?
I received.
Well, I'm going to give you your object back.
I'm going to give you a resh lacha fenecha.
Right.
Yeah.
Here it is. Oh, you mean, do I have to actually deliver it to your house?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That's a different question. Maybe I call you up and I send you a Facebook message. Come and take your shor. I don't know.
But you're not responsible for the behavior of the shor. I gave you a shor, give me back a shor.
I would say the following. I'm not responsible for the loss of the shor. If the shor is still healthy, if the shor is still well, physically, its physique has not been damaged.
Right.
That's called Hezek Shein Nikar. So you can't be mechayev me under the law.
The fact that during the time that it was in my possession or under my shmira, he went out and was
nokeach
somebody, and he's already, okay, then, and he's now chayev skila. I'm
not chayev for that.
I'm not chayev on that.
Because there's a technical foul here. The technical foul is that Hezek and Ezekiel is only compensated for the loss of the physical object. The object is still breathing and it's fine and well. It's walking around on all fours. Now he has another technical limitation in Ezekiel. You can't be mechayev him for the Gneva either. Why? Because the object was valueless. Do you hear the two technicalities?
Because the Gvardian preceded the Gneva.
Exactly, since the Gvardian preceded the Gneva, then at the time of the Gneva
was worthless.
Right.
In terms of Tashlumim, but in terms of Harei Shalcha Lefanecha, it's
no. So that's the Rav's problem here. Forget about Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. Harei Shalcha Lefanecha becomes meaningful when there's a Chiyuv. But here there's no Chiyuv to begin with. That's, you know, we're like the Rav is asking fundamental questions. He says here that the Shittim Gubetz has asked this question. Okay, fine. Vanira Lomar Bozeh, and hopefully we're going to swing back to Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. The Ve'emes Mevur Bozeh, the Din Dover Agorim Lomom Kimomen Domi, Eino Toli Bedin Achrayis Tashlumin, Ela Bekabola Shmira Bilvad. Ki Nira Degam Kabola Shmira Hu Chiyuv Hakzoras Achevitz Labailim Kshu Be'en Miha. Aha. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, forget about the moment of the event, of the occurrence, of the destructive event.
Mm-hmm.
Even before that, by virtue of Kabbalah Shmira, the Shomer has responsibility for the Hashava. Yes. In other words, what's inherent in the Kabbalah Shmira is that I will return to you this object. You know, we're putting all our eggs into the basket of what happened. When did the occurrence happen? Whether it's the skila, you know, the chiv skila. Whether it's the gneva. Forget about all that, because if you're going to put an emphasis on those two, you're caught in a bind. It's a hezek shein nikar. It's an object that's valueless. But the answer is that vas lichtin them kabbalah shmira. What's inherent in the kabbalah shmira is a chiv hashava. And later on, if he can't return the object, I'm not going to be mechayev of him because of the actual hezek that took place, which in this case is a hezek shein nikar, or a hezek that took place to a valueless object after the Igmar Din, I'm going to be mechayef him simply because he cannot return the object. He has no way, he has no wherewithal of returning the object. Im kein, nimtzuk shenevar hachefetz al yidei aveidoso, ein ha-shomer, see, I would add the word yochel, ein ha-shomer yochel l'kayim din ha-shomer hachefetz l'baylov, v'adayin ha-shomer mamshich lios mechuyo l'achzir sabikon l'baylov,
right?
El shedin achrayis tashlumin l'shalim is domov, ein lo koshlo nizak abikod. Wow, that's wild. You hear this revolution. He's saying that basically, from the moment of Kabbalah Shmir, the Shomer has to pay for the object. The only thing is, that there's a technicality, that the chiv tashlumin and the ability of the mafkid to force compensation, that's dependent upon the loss of the object, the nizak, the hezek to the object. I will hold news as ikar din shmiras lahoshes because lo kiyam adayin uvshimzel belvad nira the shayach by din dovra gorm lemomen kumalin dom. In other words, again, in din in Ezekiel, it could be very possible that we could not generate dovra gorm lemomen, but it's a din in Kabbalah Shmira. And there would be no achrayis tashlumen here, technically, because of the two reasons that we gave before, based on the Gemar Din of Skila and then the stealing of the object after Gemar Din. But Pagamba lo achrayis tashlumen al gufa shal yidei avedas afikod nisha shomer. It doesn't matter. The shomer is chayiv not because of tashlumen. Because again, Achrayis Tashlumin Din and Zika would not apply him in Marisha, but because he can't return the object. Well, and the Shmir itself, from the get-go, is Machayev him to pay if he can't return the object. Return and here he can't object. Return the object.
No matter what.
And that makes it into Dover Gom Lemomen.
Yeah.
Umi'ato ha'nitsu the kol shomer avi Dover Gom Lemomen k'momen dobi gam al yidei Achrayis Tashmir bilvan. Below din achrayis tashlumin, kein nicha heitev kushas hataz. Now we can answer the kaz of the taz's kasha. The hodu parach b'gemara lomali lo yimotzei tepekle mishum dovra gom lomamen kemamen domi zel mishum de mitzad din dovra gom lomamen kemamen domi gam below achrayis tashlumin. There is such an operation of the power, and we can activate the power of Dover Gomel Moment without Achrayis Tashlumin. Mishum Zeb, this is the Gemara's Kasha. Mishum Zeb Elvad Sheim Yavei V'Yigarev V'Lo Yuchal Akaimus Achrayis Shmira Kedilei Domi. In other words, since he can't fulfill his Chiv Hashava, which he took upon himself by virtue of the Achrayis Shmira, that itself makes it into his. That's also a Dover Gomel Moment Kemamendom, because in event that the object gets lost or stolen and he can't return it, he's going to have to pay. Al Kain, who chayv about Yerob Ayimotzi b'mikrash Achrayis Tashlumenu al Yidei Onis Bilvad. Oh, this I didn't understand. Al Kain, who chayv about Yerob Ayimotzi b'mikrash Achrayis Tashlumen who al Yidei Onis Bilvad ki be'emes l'din Dover Gomel Moment ain't Achrayis Tashlumenu. Sagi. Okay, I'm not sure what he adds here in the onus. We're a little pressed for time because of Mincha, but the main thing is that the Gemara is saying you want to generate the halacha of Dover Gomel Lamam Kemamen Dami. I don't need Bal Yimotze as a derivation. I can generate that simply by the fact that he was Mekabel Achrayis Tashlumen. I'm sorry, he was Mekabel Achrayis Shmira, and the Achrayis Shmira means that until he can return the object, he's going to remain chayav for the object, and therefore the object himself is his in the sense that it represents the moment. Ulam l'didan dovra gom l'momen lav k'momen dovi gamla maskonis ha-gemara minon de gamla mandiomen dovra gom l'momen k'momen dovi itzrich krod lo yimotzei holfach yisa hodur beyene k'nem avur besugya l'kach l'din zed lo yimotzei b'chomitz tzor gamkin achrayis tashlumen. Right, you can't just press the button of Dovra Gom L'mom K'mom Dami, because we paskin Dovra Gom L'mom and Lav K'mom Dami. So we're going to have to introduce some sort of new Allah of Achrayus here. El Shalin Yidzeh Sagi Gam Be'Achrayus Tashlumin Al Yidei Ones. That's because of the Rav Shita back here in the paragraph Achen, that we can add together A plus B, and we can make a tzirup between the Achrayus of Kabbalah Shmira, which the Jew accepted willingly, and the Achrayis Tashluma, which is being superimposed on, and it's Kofalim HaKigigis here on the part of the governmental officials, and that's called the Anos. And that's Kamosha Nisbayar, like we said before in the paragraph Achim. So also, if I understand correctly, are they up to Mincha? Because all of a sudden it became quiet there, I don't know.
But 1 minute.
1 minute, great. So I think what the Rav is trying to establish here, in order to answer the Taz's Kasha, is that the Gemara says simply, right, let's read the Gemara's Kasha again, typically Mishum, Dabar Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami, right? Ha Nicha Laman Diyomar, Dabar Garm Lav Kamamin Dami, Hainu Ditsukra, Lashmini Gabi Chamit. But if you hold Dabar Garm Lamamin Dami, Lav, right, it's Poshet that he violates a lot, Lo Yamatsu. So the Taz is asked, what do you mean it's Poshet? According to Rabbi, we're talking about an Anos. And we're talking about an Anos. So then the principle of Dabar Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami would not even kick in over here. But the answer is that Dabar Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami could kick in as a result of the Kabbalah Shmira. Why? Because the Kabbalah Shmira is such that immediately when he accepts the Shmira, he activates the Dabar Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami. Why? Because if he doesn't return the object, he's going to have to pay for it. And that's all inherent in his Kabbalah Achrayah. Is Nimtza, that's the paragraph of Me'ata, that Kol Shomer Havi Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami. Why? Because of the Achrayah Shmir itself sets up a din of Dabar Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami. So now the Taz is asking, well, you, according to the Rambam, you're introducing the Anas into the picture, and that's Achrayah Tashlumin. Who says that Achrayah Tashlumin is Dabar Garm Lamamin Kamamin Dami? The answer is that the Dabar Garm Lamamin Dami is not because of the Achrayah Tashlumin, but because of the Kabbalah Shmira. Because inherent in this Kabbalah Shmira is a Achiv Hashava, that you have to be able to return it. If you can't return it, then you're Chayav. But you're Chayav because of the Kabbalah Sakra. If you can return it, then you're not Chayav. Why aren't you Chayav? You should be Chayav because of the Kabbalah Shmira. But the answer is that if you can return it, you return it. If you can't return it, then you're Chayav. So we'll go over this tomorrow, and we'll have a night to sleep on it. This is very profound.